Do we actually know how to define what a friend is?
How long have you got? I'm joking.
The person was expecting me to be open, honest, and vulnerable. And I'm kind of like, in my mind, well, that's what I feel like I have been. It kind of hit me like, oh, yeah, we really aren't friends anymore.
I might be contributing to the toxicity in the friendship because of my silence.
Right. I don't think that we're on the same page. Let's not pretend that there is some form of friendship here. It's okay. Like, I'm cool with that.
Hi, and welcome to the Unfriended podcast, where we have candid conversations about friendship breakups within female friendships. I'm your host, Miss Daisy, and on each episode of the podcast, I sit down with a variety of guests as they share their unique stories and journeys through a friendship breakup. And today I'm joined by Alicia, who's here to share her story of how a friendship in her 20s slowly faded away due to an inability to communicate and resolve issues within the friendship. And before we get into Alicia's story, just one announcement. As you all know, we dedicate a few episodes of this podcast to answering dilemmas. I'll be joined with a guest co-host and we'll be having just girly chats as we discuss the dilemma. So if you do want your dilemma to be featured in one of the episodes, please email theunfriended.pod@gmail.com. Oh, welcome Alicia to the Unfriended podcast.
Hi Daisy. we made it.
I know, right? Thank you so much just for being open to share your story and experiences. It's not always easy, especially when the friendship breakup happened such a long time ago, just to kind of get back and to dig into that. So I guess my first question to you is, tell us about the friendship.
Yeah, I was pondering on this thing and the first thing that came to me was, what is a friendship? What does it mean to be a friend? And I kind of looked it up and excuse me for looking at my notes a few times, but I wrote it down because I think sometimes we say words and you know, we had this conversation before. We say words, we have expressions, and oftentimes we don't really know what they mean.
Yeah.
So when I looked at the word friend, it means a person with whom one has a bond of mutual affection. And affection is a gentle feeling of fondness or liking. So straight away, before we could eat, like when people are listening, I'm hoping people are thinking, do we actually know how to define what a friend is? There should be a mutual affection, a mutual liking of each other, right? So we'll get into the nitty gritty later. But in terms of this quote unquote, I'd say friendship, the friendship came about through a mutual friend.
Yeah.
And we were kind of, you could say, at a crossroads. Coming from different backgrounds, I've been brought up in the church, she hadn't been. And we came to a point where it was like, okay, we both want to really get to know God.
Yeah.
And so on that journey, we started having Bible studies together, things like that. And so that's kind of really how the friendship took off, if you like.
Okay. And what was the friendship like? Like, what sort of level of closeness did you have? And was it just about Bible studies or was it like a kind of well-rounded friendship?
Yeah, good question. From my perspective, I think it was well-rounded in that we had the Bible study, but we'd be doing social things like, you know, going shopping together. If she found things or I found things online for home gadgets, whatever, we would share things. We'd talk about issues like she'd come out of a relationship that hadn't gone too well. I'd encourage her with that and different challenges with family, you know. So I think it was the whole dynamics of a friendship, what it should be, to be supportive, to be caring, to be able to share different things. I feel like we both kind of gave that to each other.
So you sort of bond over this mutual wanting to get closer to God, and also you have like social things that connect you. So how did the friendship sort of progress from there?
I think we kind of were going to different studies and different things like that. And then quite early on in the friendship, maybe after the first year or so, we got into a ministry after the first few years.
Okay.
So for those who don't know, a ministry is kind of like a business, but God's business. It's working together for the goal of, you know, letting people know that we have a God that loves us, that made us, that's coming back for us. And so it's working with other people who are Christian, in our instance, Christians, and working to share that message in different ways. So it could be on social media, it could be Bible studies, things like that.
So is this a ministry you both started together or you sort of joined
the ministry? We joined, good question. So we joined an existing ministry.
Okay.
and never wasn't my plan anyway. And it was kind of like, oh, okay, I don't want to be, you know, just warming up the pews kind of thing, you know. And I've always been active in church, I guess, but it was more like I felt like, okay, I was new into it, but I, you know, I got involved in it. And so did the other person, the friend. And it was very intensive, you could say. There was a lot going on. We were trying to do like campaigns, and campaigns are kind of like where you kind of have like an event.
Okay.
But the event is, you know, to teach people different things about our faith. And then there were different events where we even were going away to places. So there was a lot of things to organize. There was a lot of every weekly church things where you'd have food together, helping with that. So had a hand in a lot of pots. Yeah. I was doing some of the music side as well with other people.
Yeah.
So there was a lot. We would be meeting sometimes to do prayer and fasting, organizing those things. We were doing newsletters, magazines. So there was a lot happening.
So you mentioned like ministry is almost like a business. And a lot of the times we find that people are good friends, but when they enter into a business together, it goes a bit funny.
Yeah.
Is that the same with ministry?
Well, yeah, I think it can happen. Yeah, definitely. And I think as we'll get into it, I think it's the same type of thing. It's like sometimes you go into something with an idea, with a thought, with a feeling, with a way you think things should be done. And you think that the other person has that same kind of mindset, or there's certain ways that people want things done. And then you begin to unpack and you're learning. And obviously, even if you've had a friendship for a long time or a short time, like you said, different dynamics in the relationship can bring out different aspects or characteristics, different situations that are challenging. And then you either, you know, swim or you sink.
Yeah.
As they say.
So what were some of the challenging dynamics that you had then, like being in ministry together and trying to be friends as well?
Good question. I think that there was a large group of people, like you said, mentioned earlier, were in our early 20s, a mixture of people who've been going to church for several years. Some people were, you know, somewhat new. Some people had been in church longer. And so I think there was, outside of even just the ministry, it's a personalities, it's a character thing. And there's different characteristics. I'm more of like, I say it as I see it. And I don't have to go and have a separate conversation with you, Daisy, about something that I'm not willing to say to a group of people on a matter. So you've got all these different dynamics in the way people address or don't address things. And so I think that it brought some, I don't know if the word's hostility that I would use, but it brought some tension within the friendship.
Okay, so it's bringing tension in the friendship. So how are you both navigating that tension? Like, are you, is it tension in the sense that there's tension but no one's saying anything, or there's tension and you're arguing more? Like, how does that sort of manifest?
Yeah, good question. So again, I don't think we really had like a big, like, you know, breakout argument that some friends might have, but there were situations where you could feel the tension. And then it was a mixture. So sometimes things I feel were like, and again, some of this is retrospective and some of it was seen, I saw it kind of at the time.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like a lot of the time I kind of sensed, okay, the body language, that if something's just not right. So I would say, oh, let's have a conversation, you know, and see if we can just talk about whatever the issues are. And I guess in my mind, it was like, okay, we're discussing the issues. You've said you may not be happy about something. I've said I'm not happy about something. Okay, we're both going to look at it and try and maneuver and navigate the best we can in the situation. And everything seems cool. And as far as I'm aware, things are moving forward. Okay.
Okay. So why are you saying as far as I'm aware?
Because again, you know, light begins to come out as time moves on. I think, you know, it's kind of like, I think God has given us all a level of discernment, and whether we tap into it more or not, or we listen to the voice of God or not, it's a choice we have, right?
Yeah.
On not only on someone else's behavior, but on my own behaviors, my own choices. And I think even though we'd have certain conversations, the relationship still felt strained to some degree, even though when I would ask, it's like, no, everything's cool. And so it was kind of mixed messages. Do you see what I mean? So body language or communication, one minute it's like, we're okay. Or I don't hear from you in the week. I see you one day a week, and, you know, hugs and kisses. And the dynamics were really changing. Whereas we were going from speaking every day, which is fine. I don't have to speak every day, but we kind of were saying we're kind of close friends. And then it was like, it got to a point where it's like, okay, we're not really speaking that much. But then when we see each other once a week, because we're in the same space, it's like now, oh, let's act like we're good friends. And it's like, well, are we? So in my mind, I think looking back, it's like I was having this conflict in my head that there's one message being sent out, but then there's another message being portrayed when I happen to see you one day a week. So what's really the real deal? Do you get it? So yeah, it was a bit of a
it's weird because it sounds to me, so this is how I'm understanding from what you're saying. So it sounds like there's tension. You're going to I'm guessing you're initiating this conversation.
Yeah, in most instances, I would say.
So they've initiated a few, but you're mainly, you're sensing there's a bit of tension. You're like, hey, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
You talk about it. It appears to be cool.
Yeah.
But then you still feel like it's not really resolved.
No. And I think some of that was because and this is what it is. Again, if you, and you know, I'll kind of talk about it later, I think, but if I don't communicate to you, Daisy, specifically something that I'm not happy about, because I perceive the way in which you said something to be aggressive, or I just don't like the way you're saying it with attitude or whatever it may be, then how can I expect you to even think, well, did I say this to Alicia in a certain way? Or what did I mean by it? If I don't know, because you've not communicated it, how can we really be cool? Do you know what I mean? How can things really be okay? So I think there was a lot of that where it was like, oh, we're cool. We've spoken about it. Okay, I'm not happy about this. You're not happy about that. But it's kind of like very high level. It's not really like, oh, Alicia, point blank, I didn't like the way you said A, B, C, D. It wasn't really ever that. It was just really like, oh, you know, there's a bit of tension and there's a lot happening in the ministry. And it wasn't really ever like, these are the specific things I'm not happy about. There were the odd occasions where there was that, but for the most part, it was really like not addressing a lot of things, or when it was said, it was very like airy fairy. So it was kind of like that kind of circle.
It's crazy. Because I think you speak about this cycle, but I think it's very common. And I'll be honest, I'll hold up my hands. Like, I have been that friend where there's issues, I'm not happy, but I just stay quiet. Or I would just not really say, like, point blank period. And I don't know, sometimes you might think I'm like that because I don't want to ruin the friendship. Sometimes you don't want to hurt the person.
Yes.
But going through my own experience and also just on this journey of understanding friendship breakups, I also realized that actually when I do that, the person, how do I explain it? Like, in your situation, you're thinking everything's cool.
Yeah.
You don't know exactly what you're doing. Your behavior is triggering someone. Right, but until you know exactly what it is, you can't work on that.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Right. And if it's to be worked on, because this is where it comes to about be a friend being something where there's a mutual bonding, there's a mutual, you know, liking of the person, because we may be the type of people that just don't connect with how each other express things as well. Do you see what I mean? Because till this day, I'm still going to be honest with my friends. Of course, you know, you need to season with a bit of salt, as Christ says. But the way I season my food, it might not be enough salt for somebody, or it might be too much salt for somebody. So yeah, I think it's a balance of that some people aren't going to like certain things, but I agree that at the root of the situation, it's like, if you don't tell me, and if you're not also willing to look at it from both sides, friendship's a two-way thing, right? If there's two people involved, then if we're both not able to mutually look at a situation and not think my way is the way, someone, for example, doesn't speak up, like, well, it's one of the things that still is like a pet peeve for me, like, be honest, be direct, like, be authentic. Don't allow someone to make you not feel that you can't speak up. But I have to still look and be like, why am I feeling a certain way because you don't have a voice, rather than looking at, well, maybe there's a reason why so-and-so is not able to express themselves. But then for the person who is that way, they also need to look and be like, well, why do I not, like you said, speak up? Yes, it may be genuinely because you don't want to hurt your friend, but is it also because there are some things in the past, some traumas, some hurt friendship, you know, bad friendships you've had, or relationships you've had, where you've not felt that you could have a voice? So I think it's on both sides, there's always something that each person can look at.
No, definitely. And I think, like you said, not speaking up, it doesn't save the friendship. It makes it worse. So by the time, you know, things come to a head and it sort of blows up, does that make sense? So I agree with what you're saying about it's a two-way thing, in a sense that both have to sort of understand where both are coming from. But just, so it seems like this thing is a cycle of have this conversation, you think it's all cool, but it's not really cool.
Yeah.
So how do you both progress from there? Like, what sort of unfolds after that?
Well, we had some life experiences that you hopefully only go through once, you know, marriage, and we shared some of those close situations. And I think that those situations kind of revealed and shared, like, it kind of, for me personally, it showed that, look, whatever I do, it's not good enough. Oh, wow. like just like, there's no other way to say it. Like, whatever I do, you know, I'll stay up in the night for your dress to get made. I've got to also sing for your wedding. I'm running around. Whatever I do, it's not good enough. There's always a story that's being told. And again, unbeknownst to me. So it's kind of like you get to the point where it's like, even before that point, actually, it was like I was sensing there's something not being communicated. Mm. And so I try to kind of exit the friendship and be like, okay, cool. You're going through one of the most, you know, important decisions, second to giving your life to Christ, that you're going to ever make. I don't want to be the hinderer of you enjoying this season leading up to that big day. Mm. So let me take a step back. And it was kind of like, no, I want you involved. So it's like, again, if you keep getting mixed messages, yeah, it is actually confusing for the person whatever your belief system is of how they're doing things or why they're doing things or not liking how they're doing things. Be okay to say, do you know what? Maybe it's the best thing for now or whatever, or just indefinitely. But again, not sending mixed messages is a big, big thing. So yeah, that it got to that place, really. I think that was one of the defining moments, at least for me.
Yeah, you said something that really got to me. You were like, you got to a point, you're like, it's never going to be enough.
No.
Like, as in, I'll be doing the most for your wedding. I'll be doing the most here and there. Mm. But I still feel this tension. I still feel like you're holding back.
Mm.
That's really deep.
Yes.
Like, saying it now, like, how did that feel at that time? That feeling of, I'm just not good enough. Like, I can do the most and there's always going to be an issue.
I guess I've learned for my own self that I can be, in that respect, I can be my own worst enemy, because the way I give myself to people, I put myself in their place. Do you get it? So for example, if you're having a birthday gathering, a birthday party, and you ring me, Daisy, and you say, this person's letting me down for so and so, or I can't find something like this, I'll be the person and be like, oh, let me look, I know somebody, or if I don't know, let me find out. That's just me. I'm not doing it for you to announce my name at the birthday party or for you. I'm not even thinking about that, because that's just not how I am. I'm just a type of person that if there's a problem, I want to look for a solution. And for some people, that solution isn't enough. So for me, I think at the time I was on so much go that I kind of, like, it wasn't till kind of during and after, like, I remember I even delayed moving. I was meant to move because I had just got married the year before.
Okay.
And we were meant to be moving out of London, my husband and I, and we delayed it by a couple of weeks to be in London so that I could help.
Oh wow.
You know, yeah. And we've got an agreement that we're signing to move somewhere. We're paying for this, and it's kind of like, okay, we're delaying it. And again, I'm not even thinking about these things. Like, even as we're speaking now, I'm literally just remembered on this.
Yeah.
Because I'm not thinking about this. I'm not even telling the person. I'm just like, no, I'll be there for you and I'm here to help. But it's not reciprocated. So how I felt, I kind of think, was like, if I think about it realistically now, yeah, at the time it was like, after all of things kind of lowered, like kind of settled, the dust settled, it's like, wow, like, this is how it's received. But it's kind of like, okay, well, it is what it is. Like, I'm, to be honest, I'm just that way. I'm that kind of person. It's like, okay, cool, I'm down for a day on this, and then let me just get up and keep going.
Yeah. So you mentioned the whole scenario with helping out at the wedding and just helping out with other things within the friendship. So how did you both get to that point where it's like, yeah, it's best to walk away? Like, did you guys have that final conversation? Like, how did that all pan out?
Yeah, it was more like, I think it was because my husband and I, we moved and we just weren't in the ministry anymore. We kind of decided to step away from the ministry as well. And part of it was because there was just so many dramas and stuff going on. And it got to the point where it's like, is this really about Christ now? And we just moved. So it was kind of a case of, all right, we're going to step away. And so as we stepped away, it was kind of like, okay, well, the quote unquote friendship kind of dissolved naturally with that being the case. That's just how it ended. It was no big argument. No, it was just kind of like the odd text message here and there. And then it kind of just went to nothing really, other than when I reached out.
Oh, wow. So you're saying, so you moved house or you moved location.
Yeah.
You're not reaching out. They're not reaching out. And that's,
yeah, literally. So it was becoming more and more before we moved, like a one-way thing. And then it was kind of like, wait a minute, let me just, you know, stop reaching out. And then that's it. Like, so it's like, okay, cool, that's the friendship.
Do you feel like, not to sound controversial, but do you feel like you moving and being far away from that person sort of
gave them license to be, like, I think so. And but then the weird thing was, because I was even thinking about this, the weird thing was, then I don't know if it was a phone call, but I think it was a message. I got a message. There was a surprise birthday party. And that's another thing where I was kind of told at the last minute by certain people. And then I got a message, oh, why weren't you there? Oh, my mum expected to see you there and I thought you would be there. And in my head, I'm like, but you've not really been in contact with me. So why am I? And I don't even know what I said. I just said something like, I couldn't make it. Because I think I got to the point, because the old me would have been like, well, you know, like I just said, you didn't really want me to be there. You've not been in contact with me, really. So why should I now make the effort to spend money I don't have to drive all the way to your birthday gathering when, you know, am I really wanted? So yeah, it was kind of like mixed messages. That's why I thought, well, why should I further inconvenience myself to come to somewhere where I'm not really wanted? So even then, at that point, there was still a bit of mixed messages coming out. And I was just like, you know, I'm done. Like, I think I get to that point where it's like, there's a point where I've got to draw the line. Like, I can't keep giving of myself. And I think everyone has to be willing to come to that place. Like, you have to pray about it, especially if you believe in God, of course, and you believe in Christ, and come to that place where, like, God, what do you want me to be doing? Because time is a talent. Time is something we can't get back.
Yeah.
So how I use my time, the friendships I pour into, the relationships I pour into, the things I do with my time, I've got to be accountable for how I use my time. So yeah, I just got to that place where it's like out of sight, out of mind.
So the friendship pretty much dissolves. There's no sort of closure or argument or no final conversation. So how did you navigate that friendship breakup? Because as you said, like, you both came together on mutual commonalities, like your faith, social stuff. You even worked in the ministry, traveled together, did things together, and then it just sort of fizzles.
Yeah, I think initially at the time when it happened, there was a lot of other things going on with family sickness and different things. So like a few years after it, like around a year or so after it, it was kind of like, okay, I didn't really sit down and process it, because like I said, I'm just the type of person, like, I'll just keep going. Do you get it? And I think I don't like to dwell on things and be a victim in a situation. I like to take responsibility for where I've made mistakes, even in this friendship, and then do the best I can to resolve it. As Christ said, you know, if you think someone's got something against you, speak to them. I tried to do that on numerous occasions and then just moved on. But then I think it was a few years down the line when I think, you know, you hear, if you're in the circle of friends with people, you might hear the person's name pop up. Oh, this was happening or this was happening. And then I think it just hit me one day. I was like, wait a minute. I used to be that friend who would be the one who knew. Do you get it? So I think it was when certain things were being shared, it was kind of like, oh, wow, I'm not involved in that moment, or I don't know about it. And then it was like, okay, it kind of hit me like, oh, yeah, we really aren't friends anymore.
Wow.
So yeah, it was kind of like moments like that a few years later where it kind of more hit me, or when, you know, there was other situations we don't get into, but yeah, it was more when there was key moments of life continuing to happen, as you do when you grow up and you're getting older and you get more family responsibilities. And then it was like, oh yeah, and vice versa, like when things were happening for me, it's like, oh, you know, my good friend would have known this, but hey, it's not meant to be kind of thing. So
No, that reality can sometimes be quite painful. Especially when it's like, you know, like it might be something like, just using like a random example, like you might be with a friend and they're studying to be like a doctor.
Yes.
And then they finally become a doctor and you're like, wow, I was there when,
started.
It's like they're having this moment and I'm not able to share that with them. Yeah, that can be quite painful to come to terms with.
It's like, imagine if it wasn't in this case, but imagine exactly the person who got married and you've been speaking about, oh, what if I find that person that God would have me marry? And then, like you said, you're not there. And yeah, definitely.
So, okay, so your friendship fizzles out. Do you ever sort of have a moment where you talk, or is it still like tension, like you just never knew what happened?
So we, like I said, there was like odd conversations, and then there were a few more conversations that I called. I would say there was about three conversations that I called over.
So this is after the breakup.
We've moved out of the area, we've changed location, and subsequently I felt impressed, because I the thing with me is, I like to take responsibility. And I also felt like there were things that were left unsaid on the person's part as well. So I said, well, let me just, you know, I've let, you know, the dust has settled, or at least I think so.
Yeah.
Let me ask them if they want to, you know, have a conversation. But I think what kept happening in these conversations was the person was expecting me to be open, honest and vulnerable. And I'm kind of like in my mind, well, that's what I feel like I have been all along. So it was kind of like, but they're not really, it's like they expected me to lead the conversation, which is fine. I don't have a problem leading, but it's also an opportunity for you to say whatever you feel that you need to say about things you would have liked to have seen done in the friendship.
So were they keeping it very high level again?
Literally. So it was kind of like, okay. And then I'd be like, oh, so maybe, because for example, there were some mutual friends doing some stuff. I said, okay, so let's, you know, we can all link up and go out and da da da. And it was kind of like the person's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. But it was one of those like, yeah, 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 but nah. Do you get what I mean? It was one of those. So then it was like, and then after that, I said, okay, let's speak. And this wasn't going to be face-to-face. So we had a Skype or Zoom like conversation. And then it was more like, oh no, there's nothing. It was very like, again, high level, vague. Oh, you know, there's a lot of water under the bridge. And okay, well, what is that water? Like the water is not being defined. You get it? And then I feel like I kept going into a position where I'm apologizing for the same things that I'd apologized for 5 years ago, which... Yeah. Like, again, was maybe some of it was things I could have handled better. Some of it was things that I know you didn't like, whether I agreed or not, you know, they knew my view on it.
Mm.
But it wasn't ever like, okay, Alicia, these are A, B, C, D things that I didn't like or that have hurt me or caused me to not reciprocate the friendship.
Mm.
You know, I didn't feel I got that. And then we had one conversation even in more recent years, and this was the most honest and open conversation we'd had, like, in over probably 10 years, this whole period. It was like...
So they finally opened up?
A little bit more, yeah. It was like, they were like, oh, I didn't feel that I had a safe space to say certain things. I was like, okay.
Wow.
But then when it came to saying what those things were, again, it was more like, oh, I'd got counsel from people and... you know, that knew us mutually. And I was
so what do you mean by you got counsel? Like, as in they... Like they went to counselling or?
No, I think people that we both apparently mutually knew, I don't know who these individuals or individual was, apparently they went and spoke to them again. That was still high level. I didn't know what they spoke to them specifically about. But then I was kind of like, well, is it counsel or gossip? Because I'm not even being funny because they're... Like definitions, like everything's not counsel. Let's not make it too biblical when it's not true. Like, you know, I was reading it. I have the scripture here. Yeah, let me just read it.
Yeah,
it says, Proverbs 16:28, the second half says, a whisperer separateth chief friends. Aww. So it's like, if someone's coming to you, Daisy, and they're saying, or they're saying A, B, C, D about Alicia and blah, blah, blah. But that person never makes it to me being the person who feels aggrieved about something or the person who has been confided in has not said, like for me personally, if someone comes to me something, my first thing is, have you spoken to the person concerned?
Mm.
Right? And because there's an order that Christ gives us in how to address things. It's not just, oh, let me go to this person and say what I've got to say and let them interpret how Alicia's thinking. They're not me. I know how I think. I know how I reason. I know how I communicate things. But that never happened. I think there was the person who I'm assuming it was, there was one meeting called collectively, but you've not come to me if you're a friend and spoken to me to hear, well, what, you know, this is what I'm hearing, or don't even be specific, just say, Alicia, what's going on, da, 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 da. And then we can kind of try to get to some sort of, what is it, is it for restoration, or do you want to separate, like whatever it is, let's not do things cloak and dagger, because then that becomes more to me like gossip. And you know, it's like, what's the idea? Is it evil surmising? Is it preconceived ideas when we do have a meeting? Like, I don't know, and I'm not gonna second guess it. But I think it's just a bit of advice to people that be careful who you seek counsel from, because counsel isn't always counsel, and it's not always to restore. Sometimes it's to pat us on the back, like, yeah, Alicia, you're doing everything right. And I don't think I would even say that of myself, that in every friendship, I've done everything right.
And it's interesting you say that, because I kind of feel like in terms of like counsel and advising people, it's like when someone comes to you, it's a one-sided story.
Thank you.
So unless that you too. Speak to the other person, so I'm assuming there was never like, hey, so-and-so reached out to me and said, you guys are having a bit of trouble.
Why I still don't know to this day who it was. And then I said, do you know what? Like, I felt peace from the Lord. I'm like, I'm not even going to get into whom or what other conversations were had. I'm literally like, I'm at peace. Like, I've done all I can. And I think that last conversation we had, I was kind of thinking about reconciliation and maybe restoration, because I was more like, what's so deep that's happened where we can't actually be friends? But then I realized that if someone has a view of you for over a decade now at this point, then it doesn't matter how much I've tried to reach out with you, how much I've tried to share things about my life, how much I'm trying to show you that I'm even more open than I think I was back then to hearing your view on how you communicate and how you do things. But also, I'm a person and I have feelings and I have ways of understanding and doing things. It should be reciprocal, right? If I'm doing that and then I come to you again and I even make a trip down to come and have a conversation with you, a 4-hour drive to come and speak to you again, and you still can't be point blank, and it's kind of still more like, oh, you know, almost like you're to blame for everything, even though you can't quantify what that is, other than one example of how I apparently said something directly. It's like, yeah, well, I do speak directly. Like, okay, cool. Yes, I admit and I can accept that there's a way to communicate things. But again, what's the context of the situation you're sharing? So I think it gets to a point where it's like, we're going to go round robin again. And so it's just a point where like, okay, I'm happy to draw a line in the sand. I think I just got to that place.
It's interesting. Like, I'm not trying to sound like an expert, and this is literally my opinion from what you've told me. And just going back to that whole one-sided story, I'm just hearing it from you.
My side. Yeah.
But it does sound like almost like when you left, the friendship ended, and maybe they're just at a place where they're like, they're just not able to open up.
Exactly. And just say that. And I think that's a lesson that people can take as well. It's like, be honest about how you're feeling. And I think it was kind of like being alluded to in that conversation at the end that, oh yeah, you know, I just don't naturally feel like reaching out to you. Okay, cool. Like, because we've not been doing it for how many years?
That's honest. Yeah, I like that. Exactly. To say, look, I'm cool. Like,
yeah, but you should have said it but just 10 years ago. Like, do you get it? Because when I initiated that as well myself before, it was kind of like, oh no, I don't want, do you see what I mean? So that's what I'm saying. I respect it now, but I'm like, it's sad that when I said it however many years ago, you kind of didn't want it to happen. And then now, after however many conversations, now you're saying it. But yeah, I was kind of like, okay, cool. I'm not even going to hold to the past. It's literally like, right, it wasn't point blank said, but it was kind of like that was what was being said. So I was like, okay, yeah. I thought, I can respect that, because we've both moved on in our lives, as I said, and it's like, cool, at least, you know, it's clear where we stand. Let's not pretend that there is some form of friendship here. It's okay. Like, I'm cool with that.
Yeah. And I think this whole situation has got me really, really thinking, because it's made me think that if you get to a place in a friendship where the person is literally not a safe space for you, it's probably best to leave.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean you don't love the person, because, you know, even when we speak about romantic relationships, not everyone we love will be
someone that you're going to marry.
Yeah. Do you get what I mean? 100. So I think also it's reminding me that, look, like, if it ain't working, if you're on eggshells, if you can't be open, it's probably not the relationship for you, and that's okay.
Exactly.
And it's okay. And I don't know, maybe there was that pressure, Christianity pressure, where it's like, I can't be a Christian, not be friends with somebody. How can I have a failed friendship as a Christian?
Yeah, maybe they saw it that way. Yeah, for me, it was like, okay, I genuinely thought we were good friends, but it's kind of like, well, exactly. Then ask the questions, well, were we? Do you see what I mean? Yeah. And so, yeah, I agree. And I think that's one of the takeaways as well, that I would say that I realized as well that a safe space begins with yourself. Like, I have to be content with who I am in God and who God's made me to be, flaws and all. Not to be like, oh yeah, you know, this business of, you know, oh, I can keep doing and treating people about it. No, I'm not even subscribing to that. What I'm saying is that when the phone's off, right, when no one's coming to my house, am I at peace with the person that I am, with the choices that I've made for that day, with how I've treated people and the things that I am weak in, because we've all got weaknesses in our characters, how am I working to rectify where I've mistreated someone or to better represent the person that I want to be? And I think that once you get to that place, then even how I receive what you say, Daisy, even if I'm not happy with it, it's not going to rub me up. Because certain, I know I've heard certain people say certain things about how someone said something, and I was like, I didn't receive it like that. Like, I'm really not a very sensitive person, and I think sometimes that can make me insensitive, I'm being honest, because I don't take things to heart the way I've realized a lot of people do. Like, someone may say something to Rhett, but it's not like I'm going to lose sleep over it. I'm just kind of like, cool, at least I know where they stand with that person. But I think for some people, you almost feel that you have to walk on eggshells. And I think that exactly, if you feel you have to walk on eggshells on either side of a relationship, then maybe it's not working for you. But then I think outside of it not working, what's the lesson I can learn about myself and how I need to grow in my response to people and my communication?
No, definitely. I mean, there's a lot to be learned on both sides.
100%.
So what I want to ask you now is that obviously it's been years. What's your reflections on everything that happened? And you mentioned you made some mistakes as well. So what's your reflection on everything?
Yeah, well, how long have you got? I'm joking. No, I can say some and then you can edit out what you don't want. But no, but seriously, so there's a lot because I think what I've done is kind of amalgamated different experiences in life, even outside of this friendship. But I think I've already mentioned the first thing, which is be your own safe space. Like, know who you are, know your identity, know your worth, know the things that kind of trigger you and kind of upset and annoy you, and know if they're genuine things to be upset and annoyed about, and then also know how to respond and how to communicate what you're happy about, what you're not happy about. I wrote down, don't be what you don't want. I hear this term about, you know, toxic. Well, to be toxic means to cause distress in others' feelings and their lives through negative words and actions. But
I love the definitions. Yeah, I'm getting straight from the dictionary.
Yeah, because literally even some of that is relative. Or subjective, rather, because what you and I see as being negative words, somebody else may see that as being exalted. Like, you're helping me, you're edifying me to be better, to deal with things better. So even this buzzword of being toxic, let's not just run with the word. Let's break it down and say, is this really toxic? Or is it maybe Alicia had the heart for what she was saying, but maybe it wasn't communicated the right way? Or maybe I didn't receive it the right way, because I've had past friendships, past relationships that Alicia had nothing to do with, where I have triggers to certain things that I should maybe not really have triggers to, especially if it's being done in the right way. So again, let's be careful to not be what we don't want to be, because also if you say someone's toxic, then we have to also look at our own behavior. I have to look at my own behavior and be like, well, how can I not be toxic? If I'm not being honest, am I not toxic? Because really, I'm having a negative effect on somebody without them even knowing.
That's deep.
Do you get it?
My silence, maybe I might be contributing to the toxicity in the friendship because of my silence.
Right. Deep. And you're given license to it, because if you're saying it's toxic what someone else is doing, but you're silent, like you said, then that can be part and part parlay with the same thing. It's just, you know, so that's another takeaway. Another takeaway is avoid victim mentality. I think we're in a world, especially with social media, where anything anyone says or done, they've got I don't remember the term they use, but this thing of just locking people off. Like, again, it's kind of like, yes, don't stand for rubbish in a relationship, but know the difference between negative or toxic behavior and just me in my feelings, because the Bible is clear. Like, even in Proverbs 27:6, and I've always quoted this scripture and I still do, it says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. Like, again, if we know what a friend is meant to be somebody who's there as a companion, who's there to support you, who's there to help you to be a better person, to show love to you. So it's kind of like, how can I be a friend to you, Daisy, if I see something that isn't kind of right in how you're doing something, or I'm listening to gossip, I'm listening to whispers, and I'm saying I'm your friend and I'm justifying that you're not happy about something, but I've not said to you, Daisy, you are right about the situation you've told me about, but just do what Christ said and go and speak to the person and see if you can reconcile. Do you get it? See if they're willing to hear what you're saying, rather than me just taking information about somebody and patting you on the back and making you feel good about yourself. Avoid victim mentality and people who don't want to help you to address things, because that's going to help you grow. Like, that's the purpose for me, of one of the purposes of friendship, is to help me grow and help the person grow. What you said about separation, inadvertently, like, it's okay to point blank say, I just don't think we're equally yoked in this friendship. Like, I don't think that we're on the same page, in other words. You get it? Like, we don't have the same vision of how a friend should operate. And since we can't communicate that, and I don't feel that I can communicate it, I think it's best that we separate on our, you know, and our friendship ends. Like, however you communicate that, like, it's okay to say that, but just be clear on it. Don't beat around the bush, because again, that silence or that lack of clarity can cause more harm than good. Another lesson I've learned is truthful. But again, we've kind of made a truth an opinion, because if we're going from a perspective as being Christians, the truth should be based upon Christ, because Christ says that he is the way, the truth, and the life, right? In John 14. So it's kind of like any understanding I have on even how friendships work shouldn't be just one point. It should be symmetrical. So for example, people say, oh, you know, friendship is about being loved, and it is, but love has different elements to it. 1 Corinthians 13, the charity, or the love chapter, it talks about love is patient, love is kind, love is long-suffering. And then you have in Revelation 3 where it says, where Christ himself says, those whom I love I chase and rebuke. So there has to be a level of symmetry in friendship. So for me, I'm learning more and more that I want to be symmetrical in the type of communication I have and the type of relationships that I give and that I receive in a friendship. Otherwise, it's just an existing, like someone to go out for a meal with. Do you get it? Someone to text, someone to talk to for hours. But in those conversations, in those social interactions, is there a symmetry in that friendship? Is there a symmetry in that love expression? Another one is having a balance between honesty and directness. I think, as you said about a safe space and being honest, I think that for me, I think a mistake maybe I made, I don't know. I still battle with this, in that sometimes I say something that I want to be honest about, but I don't want a friend to be hurt about. And sometimes I say it like in a little laughter, like, oh, you know, like, oh, Alicia, like someone might say to me, oh, Alicia, you got too much food on your plate, ha, 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 kind of thing. Because you don't want to be like, Alicia, why are you, you know, someone could say, Alicia, why are you eating so much food? You get it? There's, and then if you say it straight, you're told you're too direct. If you say it with a bit of laughter, but you want to be honest and you don't want to be too direct, you still can, you know what I mean?
So you're saying basically season it a little bit.
Right. But then even when you season it, some people don't take light. So this is what I mean about the way that a friendship should operate. Some people have a different vision. So yeah, for me, it's important to have a balance between honesty and directness. And again, have conversations with someone. Like, you know, some people say when you're married, check in with each other on certain things every day or once a week. Like you would with a business. If you're running a business, you got to look at the finances, you got to look at the customer base, you got to look at the products, etc. We should do this in marriages, but how about friendships? Like, how many friends do these things? And review, wait a minute, I've been friends with you for 5 years, Daisy. Like, how often do we actually catch up about how our friendship is? It's not even just about how often we speak, but the types of conversations we have, the way we communicate. Is there something we think we can work on to improve the dynamics of the relationship?
I think if we did that in friendships, the relationships would be a lot better, because again, you're fostering that honesty, open it. Communication. That's and it. I feel like it's not just romantic relationships that need that intentionality. Friendships agree. Need that as well.
100%. Yeah. 100%. I think what you just said is the nail on the head, because then it's serving the purpose of what friendship should be about. Mm. Do you get it? To be that edified, to be closer, to actually not just to be existing like a lot of relationships do, but like you said, to be thriving. Do you get it? So that's one of the things I've taken away. So Daisy, my lovely friend, the last point, because there's so many takeaways, that one of the lessons that I've learned and I want people to leave thinking about is define what absolute truth is, because there should be a symmetry in every relationship, in every friendship. If friendship is just about woes and sadness, and or it's all about me telling you about things I'm not happy about, or me always pointing the finger, but I'm not willing to have the finger pointed back at me, then how is that symmetrical? Yeah. A rainbow has different colors because they reflect and show different things. And likewise, every relationship, every friendship should have a symmetry. If there's not a symmetry, then how can I grow? If I'm not using my muscles at the gym and I want to get to 30 kg dumbbells that I can lift, but I'm always on 5 kg, of course I'm not going to be able to lift the 30 because I've not exercised those muscles and I'm becoming weak and debilitated and my bones are becoming weak. And I think that realistically, if we're honest, that's how a lot of our friendships can be, because it's all one-minded. If it's always just laughing and joking and there's no symmetry and there's not dealing with, like we've mentioned before, the hard conversations are not being had, the things that are going to exhort me and help me to be a better person, then how can, what's the purpose? What does the purpose serve of saying I'm friends with someone? Because I might mutually agree even with somebody.
Yeah.
But is that mutual agreement helping me to grow? So let's have an absolute truth that's based upon symmetry. And if we say we're Christians, let us allow that symmetry to be based upon the Bible. It is written. And it's a learning thing. Like, that's what I've learned. Like, don't beat yourself up when you make mistakes. Just be willing to accept the mistakes, and not only accept them, but seek to rectify them by a change of behaviors, and be willing to just keep growing and have fun and to laugh and to smile and to just be all well-rounded, just like we should be if we're married or if we're trying to do better in the work that we are blessed to do, or not best to do in some instances. But you know what I mean? Like, in every situation, we want to be better people. So yeah, let's have absolute symmetry in friendships.
No, you're right. Friendship should be fun. Friendship should make us better. It's not always, I know this podcast is about friendship breakups, but it's not all woe. And I think a lot of our friendships could be saved by working on it, by having that open communication, by having that trust, by having that ability to resolve conflicts. All relationships, it's not just romantic relationships, you know, 100%. Like, all relationships has to have that ability to resolve conflict. So yeah, I guess my last question to you is, I know it's been a couple of years and you mentioned that a lot of times you would reach out to your friend and initiate that conversation, but what if she were to reach out to you and say, hey, and she's completely honest, like she's not holding back. Would you reconcile? How would you feel about reconciling that friendship?
So I'm going to start with a joke. I might drop my phone. out of pure shock. No. But seriously, no, I actually might. But no, but seriously, I thank God for growth, even in myself. The old me probably like, you know, whatever, kind of, not in a negative way, like I'm holding animosity, but it's kind of like, there's a level of skepticism. But I think the place that God has me at now, it's like, I'm not saying no to anything, but the soil representing the heart, like, you've got to make sure that the soil is not got full of stones and, you know, and rough things. You want it to be good soil so that your food can grow if you put a good non-GMO seed in the ground, right?
I love it.
Because if it's GMO, it ain't going to grow. So you can have a seed, but if it's not a real seed, you get it. It can look like a seed. It can look like a desire to reconcile. But what is the soil? What's the condition of my heart? What temperament I come in with? And am I, like you said, if you're open and honest, if the person's open and honest, if I can be open and honest, because again, it's meant to be a two-way thing, and we're able to say, well, what's my expectations? What does a friendship look like? Because if you have a friendship where you always have to walk on eggshells, then is that really going to be a reconcilable relationship? The answer is no. So I think it's the willingness to be like, yeah, open and honest, to just lay out what you're not happy with and to be like, okay, what's my expectation? What does friendship look like to me? And if there's no real growth in how that looks, then it might be, well, you know.
So it's not necessarily going to be an open arms thing. It's going to be like, actually, let's talk. If we're going to reconcile, let's talk about our expectations and how this friendship's going to go, so we're not stuck in that cycle of not saying things.
Right. It's like if someone comes to you and they say to you, I know you're married, but just hypothetically, like, Daisy, I want to marry you. You're not just going to turn around and say yes if you don't have a relationship with them. Well, some people would, but because I know you're level-headed, you're not going to just turn around and be like, yeah, let's get married tomorrow. You need to get into, if like, just assume you just started courting the person one day, and day two, they ask you to marry them. Even if you felt inclined to say yes, if you have the wisdom of God and discernment, you would say, no, I need to take time to get to know this person. I need to know how they operate in life. How do they manage finances? How do they manage conflict? What's the dynamics with their family? How do they interact with my family? There's all these different things. What's their view of family? What's their life goals? You're going to want to know about the person. So again, like you said earlier about, it shouldn't just be for marriage, where we review the marriage and how things are going. Why don't we do this for friendship? relationships? Like, what's your expectations? And then you don't set yourself up to be in something that isn't actually what you thought it was going to be. Do you get it? So so that would be the thing. So it's open arms, and it's not even conditional. It's just more like you said. So we're not doing round robin and going round and round in circles. Let's try and let's try and lay it out on the table.
Wow, thank you so much, Alicia, for just coming onto the podcast and just sharing your story. It's not easy to be open and vulnerable. So I just thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. It's exciting.
For sharing your experience.
Like, I'm so happy that you're doing this, because as I said with you off camera, and I hope you don't mind me saying now, like, honestly, these conversations are so necessary because it's the uncomfortable conversation, like you said, of friendship breakups that many people don't want to have. They want to have all the smooth and lovely things, but even like in marriages, there are going to be certain challenges. But I think these conversations are good to let people know there are measures that I can put in place to avoid certain red flags, even within myself, and not just other people, just pointing at other people. But let me look introspectively and see where I am. And so these conversations, I know, are going to be amazing and are amazing. And so thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for contributing to that conversation. And I'm looking forward to having many more conversations with women. And we need to keep talking about it, and that's the only way we'll grow and actually find solutions.
That's right.
So Alicia, before you go, I know you mentioned non-GMO seeds and you mentioned a lot about food, and I just wanted to just let people know that you're into health and selling health products, giving health advice. So if people want to connect with you on that level or on a Christian level, how can they get in touch?
Yes, thank you. So you can follow our handles. My husband and I have a number of handles on social media, primarily Instagram and Facebook, but all of the major outlets, we are at Establish a Life. So, establishing life, that's what our page is about. And we kind of try to share things about, like the difference between the real and the fake in terms of health. We talk about all topics, really, even friendships. We talk about marriage. We talk about everything. And so we're just trying to get more content out there. So give us a like or a follow and send a DM if there's anything you want us to cover. And we'll be happy to share and help where we can.
Oh, thank you so much, Alicia.
Thank you.
Thank you once again for tuning into this episode of the Unfriended Podcast. I hope that you found Alicia's story very valuable and also challenging and thought-provoking. If you do enjoy this podcast, please show us some love. Please like, comment, and subscribe to the channel. Also, if you do have a friendship dilemma that you want featured on the podcast, please email theunfriended.pod@gmail.com. And for more friendship breakup content, or just to stay connected, you can find me on Instagram at love_MissDaisy or at theunfriended.pod. Thanks again for sticking to the end, sending lots of love your way, and I'll see you in the next video.